Blog Talk Radio.
I watch your face while you are asleep. Arrested grace.
This is for you, Hayden.
I want to keep.
This is for everybody around the world. That's going to a lot. And there is only one God. On light, on the pain at night, he shined through darkness. I pray for my people that's lost. That's why he was on the cross for our sins. This world's no more, so I not help the poor. Natural disaster, earthquake, Haiti, that's where my parents' birthplace is crazy. I'm still fighting with myself, holding on the truth. It's not good for your health. Time is running out, so keep strong. Even the road is long, so just keep faith. Love people that hate, don't look back. Family, friends, love him to the end. Here, grab my hand and let's be a rock like the band. And jump up and be God's biggest fan. Let's go and follow him to the road that's no longer cold. God help us all. Let's get up while we fall. Please answer when he calls. You gotta be honest, just listen to my voice. In this world, you gotta make the right choice. It's not about rich or fame. During hard times, you just switch up your game. My heart matches my body, my soul, my spirit. My people, can you feel it? Our God is the realest. Reaching for the stars, walk with me. Cause we gotta make it far. I've been placed.
Good morning, peoples. You are listening to Faith is Power Radio. I am your host, Joseph the Dreamer. Now, my co-host, Mr. Gabriel. Gabriel, you online?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am, and you know it, man.
Happy Sunday, man. Happy Sunday.
Same to you, my bro. You know, let's get ready to do this.
Yes, yes. Yes, God is good, man. God been working in his favor all this week, last week, the week before. You know, you want to give out your testimony about your dad and let everybody know what's been going on? Or you want to start praying before you say anything else?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with a prayer, and then after that, we'll go ahead and go into the testimony. Let's not do anything without starting off with God. You know how it is. Because the enemy is very, what they say, fresh. He's rude and he's slick. He thinks that he can infiltrate himself within God's work, you know, and all that stuff and make things overturn. So let's go ahead and pray first. That way God can give us offense and defense at the same time. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come before you, sinners at heart, because we know we're not perfect. We know that we fell short of your glory, Father God, and that's the reason why also we know that we need a Savior. And we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. That way we can know that we have no bondage under sin anymore, Father God, that sin does not hold us down. And we have power over the works of the enemy, and we have power over the sting of death, as the Bible says. And, Father God, I pray that this show that we're doing will go according to your will, and everything that is being spoken out of our mouths will come from your Holy Spirit's inspiration. Please forgive us of our sins, of our trespasses. We have people that we're probably not in good relations with. Please forgive us for that. We pray that we live peaceably with all men. That way we can live a holy life, because your Bible says, your word says, that no one who lives a holy life will see you. Who doesn't live a holy life will see you. Everybody who wants to see you has to be holy. And I pray, Father God, that you may continue to exercise your righteousness in our lives. Put forth your judgment through us, Father God. Search our hearts and put us in a position where we can serve you, not just as voluntary servants, but as obligated bond servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, yeah, all right. Basically, my father's doing good. You know, I haven't gone and seen him. I was supposed to do that yesterday, but because of the rain. Well, you know, we were supposed to go up there, but because of rain, it was kind of, it was set back. But he's doing really good. He was paralyzed on his left side, but now there's more movement, and he's beginning to talk. So that's another good thing about it. So one thing is I see that in the Bible it says that Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So that alone tells me that, you know, by acknowledging God and everything that we're doing and acknowledging him, even in this situation that's going on, no matter how bad it seems, he's actually making it work out to, you know, to his glory. It's not for us to go ahead and be happy that my father's doing better, but it's for him to be glorified. And my father owes him.
Amen.
My father wasn't saved. My father was not a saved man. But now he is, and he owes God a lot. Basically, I'm not plain, flat out plain. He owes him. So now everything is working for the good, and we thank God because he's strengthening our my dad. He's giving him strength again to be able to work his left side, and it's been improving more and more as each day goes by. And that's a testimony within itself. And the bigger, that's just half of the testimony, but the bigger testimony is when he finally fully recovers, and then he will go ahead and give a testimony himself of what God did for him when he was laying down in a hospital bed. Half dead, basically. He was dead. He was half dead. He was drifting in and out of consciousness and all these things. And it's like, for him to be where he's at now after a stroke and liver surgery is just, it's amazing, man. Only God can do it. There's no other spirit that can actually make something like that happen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we owe him all the glory and we give it to him.
And the Holy Spirit is always working. It's always working. It's always by faith. You know, yeah. As long as you have faith, and things will work in his ways. I mean, the Spirit will work. The Holy Spirit will work. I'm telling you, it's just by faith. And it was by faith when we was praying, and it's by faith when we trust God, you know, and we pray in all our hearts at the same time.
Yeah, and
you know
how the word says it, wherever two or three come together, and that's a message for people out there. Yo, y'all need praying partners, man. Don't think you can do it on your own. If anybody's listening, and we know y'all listening, don't think y'all can do this on your own. There is no such thing as doing this on your own. You need a praying partner. When Jesus had the disciples, he never sent any of them out by themselves. He always sent them out in pairs of two, because you need a praying partner, because Jesus himself says it. Where two or three are gathered, he will be there with them. And whatever it is that you bind on earth, he will bind it in heaven. Whatever you loosen on earth, he will loose it up in heaven. So it doesn't matter what spirit, what evil spirit, what dark forces, principalities, dominions, thrones, and all these other hierarchies of the satanic forces may come against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And especially
Amen.
If you have someone with you, a praying partner, who's upholding you in prayer, and you're doing the same for that person, listen, there's nothing better than that. Iron sharpens iron, and the Holy Spirit says it, you know, whatever we agree on, he will make it happen. Simple as that. It's not that he will think about it. He said he will make it happen. There's no thinking about it. If we pray on it, God will make it happen. You know, we pray, we agree, it'll happen. So people out there, get a praying partner. Find somebody who loves God. Not somebody who will say they love God today and tomorrow they're at the club. No. Find somebody who loves God and who's willing to hate the world and all of its ways in order to please God. That's what the Bible says. You can't please God and love the world at the same time, just like you can't.
Amen. You can't serve two masters.
Yes, there you go. Can't serve two
Amen.
Masters. And that's what brings us to this topic now, the first commandment. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other after me. That's the main commandment.
Thou shalt not serve any other gods before me.
There you go. And anything can be a God. It could be your television. It could be your iPhone. It could be Facebook. You know, anybody. They
it could be your jewelry. It could be the basketball players.
Yeah, it could be your favorite basketball
players. Celebrities, rappers, anything, anybody, matter of fact. Okay? Because the enemy is deceiving, man.
Yes. Anybody that basically... To put God second is idolatry, period. It doesn't matter how you think of it. So to put God second, not even to think that you're putting him second alone is idolatry within itself. And idolatry is an abomination that God does not tolerate at all, at all, at all. God doesn't tolerate sin, period. But there are some sins that is so abominable that he judges it right away. There's some sins that are very abominable, and idolatry is an abominable sin. And the way that God judges idolatry is not that he will judge you and hurt you. No, 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 no. No, that's not how God's judgment works in idolatry. Whatever that you're worshiping, without even knowing that you're worshiping it, because once you put your attention and your time into something more than you do in God, that's basically idolatry. So basically, by you putting your attention into this thing, whatever it is, a place, thing, or person, you're idolizing this thing. And therefore, that's where your judgment will come through that very same thing. You are basically going to be, you're bringing destruction upon your own head without even basically knowing it. It's not God that's going to say, well, I'm going to come and visit you and judge you. No, it's basically the fact that there is a cause and effect. You idolize anything outside of the Lord God, you will pay the consequences of it, because that's how it is. These other idols, they're nothing but statues and stuff like that, or human beings with a demon possessing it. That's all it is, mm-hmm. Like on TV, like all these things, you know, it's like people idolize, and it's like, I was listening to this preacher, and he's like, you know, we're idolizing things more than we're idolizing God. Basically, we're putting things before God to the point where we come from church, and we go home, we sit down, and we watch Sunday football, and then one of our fans is like,
see that? And that is like one of those things they've been doing as a tradition. They come from church and go straight to the football game. You know what I'm saying? Like ain't nothing. Like they ain't learn nothing in church. They ain't meditate on the word. It's like, oh, it's another day. Let me just go home and watch football now or play football outside. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not, there's nothing in the word for them to listen to or whatever. Like, oh, forget God. It's like you're disrespecting God's faith, you know? You know, you're just going straight home. You don't really care. It's either you're watching football or you're fornicating.
Yeah.
Okay? Because these people think, oh, Saturday or Sunday or whatever day they go to church is like, oh, it's just another day, whatever, me going to church, whatever. It's like a hobby. It's not a hobby. It's something for you to get yourself together in life, to have you guided through life, and for you to have a relationship with the Lord, okay? It's not a hobby. It's not for you to just go to church and sit there and then be like, okay, what am I going to do next? What's my game plan, whatever? What's my plan? What's my agenda, okay? I mean, I know a lot of people used to do that, but it's like you're gonna see what the consequences are going to bring. Because, I mean, I've been there, done that, and I don't know. I no longer look at my watch when I'm in church. Because things happen when you do that, okay? Especially when you try to throw in your own plans and you don't put in God's will or anything like that. You don't put God first or anything. You just put your other plans or your other business first or whatever before God. And that's another thing. People put their business before God.
Yeah.
Or money before God.
And you know, the thing is with God is that the Old Testament is where we find the Ten Commandments, right?
Yeah.
And the Ten Commandments basically saying, the first one says, basically, God is saying, I am the Lord your God. And he's saying, you shall not have any other gods before me. Now, when Jesus came, flipped it all together. And the way he flipped it was, he didn't contradict it, he completed it. And he didn't say, not only you shall not have other gods before our Father in heaven, he said, you will love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything, with every element in your body that is keeping you alive, you will love God with it. So it's like Jesus just brought it to a whole different level. People just think, okay, I'm not just going to have another, you know, let me just say, okay, I have God. You know, I'm not idolizing anything, so I'm good, you know. Because there are people like that. They don't have, you know, that ambition for material stuff. So they don't idolize material stuff. Or they don't have that, you know, where they're idolizing certain things. But that doesn't mean you're putting God first. Just because you don't idolize things and you're saying you put God first doesn't mean you are putting it first. Because you may still have that preoccupation where you end up putting something first before God. And that's the reason why Jesus says, basically, it's not just put God first anymore. It's put God in everything. Basically, love him with everything. It's no longer make him the first thing. Make him all of you. Make God everything, not just number one. Make him the Alpha, the Omega. Make him the beginning, the middle, and the end. Make him everything.
Amen.
Stuck with him. And to go a little bit further inside of the inside of the Ten Commandments, the seventh commandment says, you shall not commit adultery, right? And Jesus said, Jesus came and said, it was said to you, you shall not commit adultery. And he said, but I say unto you, if a man looks at a woman and lusts after her in his mind, he already committed adultery. Jesus actually came to complete the law. He gave us a reflection. Like Paul said, Jesus gave us a reflection of the law to show us that we cannot live up to these things for real due to the fact that they are so difficult to live up to. We fornicate in our own minds. We lust in our own minds.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the book of James, James said basically sin has to be a thought first. It's a seed that is planted in your mind. And then by bringing forth the action, you bring death. That's how sin is.
By thinking wicked in your heart.
And once you act on it, you bring death into your life. Now, Jesus is saying, don't let that seed get into the soil of your mind, period. Prevent it from happening. Take it away. And it's the same thing with the First Commandment. Don't just put God number one anymore. Put him in everything. That's the reason why the wise man, King Solomon, said, I believe it's Proverbs 3, he said it. He said, acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In all your ways, not just in a little bit, not just in a section, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Basically, we ought to put God first in everything that we do. And the Ten Commandments are literally what God, through Jesus Christ, completed for us. So by us having Jesus Christ, we have the full righteousness of God in us, because God will judge us in accordance to the law. This law, these Ten Commandments are laws that God will judge us in accordance to. Once we go and see him, he will judge us in accordance to those laws. And nobody will be able to stand righteous. That's the reason why Jesus Christ had to come and complete the law, because nobody can complete it. We couldn't even serve God on the Sabbath day and keep it holy for real. It's impossible to even do that. That's the reason why Jesus Christ himself came and he completed it. Jesus Christ.
In the New Testament.
Yes.
He made everything new.
Yes, he did. That's why he said, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. All things new. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away.
Amen.
You know, and it's like, this is the word of God. Since Jesus is the word of God, you can take your Bible from Genesis to Revelations and say that's Jesus right there you're reading about, basically, because everything was created by who? By Jesus, because the Bible says it, and everything was created through who? Through Jesus, and everything was created for who? For Jesus. That's what the Bible says, and I'm going to stick to it. If the Bible tells me the sky is red and black and blue and green at the same time, I don't care if I look up in the sky and it's blue. The Bible says it's red and black and green and yellow. That's what I'm going to believe, because I stand on this word. It doesn't matter what it says. I stand on it. That's just how I see it. You know, now if you want to go ahead and say something, my bro, I know I've been running.
No, it's cool. I'm listening.
Yeah, my bro, it's something that we need to.
But you know, the thing is, people don't understand. Like, you know, they think we just saying this just to say this, but there's a lot of people out here and younger people, they don't understand that commandment. You know what I'm saying? They're thinking, this is about free will. I understand that. But at the same time, you know, when my mom brought me to this subject about jewelry, you know, people do worship the jewelry too. Because when they put the chain on, they rap about it, they put a whole bunch of stuff on their neck or whatever. And the first thing, what they do, you know, like, if somebody robs them, they get killed for their own jewelry. Like an example, this guy, he got killed, I think, in Lavana. I think this happened a couple of weeks ago. He had a $20,000-$30,000 chain in his neck. It was real big. And he was actually fighting for his jewelry. He didn't let it go. So they shot him and he died. He died for his chain and they took his chain. Now, that right there, is it worth it to risk your life over something you're not going to actually take with you when you die, when you go to heaven or hell, matter of fact. Okay, I'm just keeping it real. Because you fight for something that don't really matter. It doesn't really matter how much it is or whatever. You're not going to go with it when you die.
You know, the
it's
thing
material
is,
things.
That's the reason why, too, in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, when the young rich man came and asked Jesus basically how, you know, to get saved, and Jesus said, go and sell all your stuff and take the money and give it to the poor. And he was filthy rich. He couldn't do that. And Jesus told my, I tell you verily, Jesus said to the disciples, I tell you honestly, it's going to be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like, even if they're not rich either, people always want to hold on to things. And it's like, you hold on to things, and then after that you pass away, you're not going to be able to bring it with you.
Oh, yeah. Amen to that. So it's just, you know, people need to understand that, you know, it's in the Word, and you need to be careful what you do. Give yourself up to the Lord and have that relationship with the Lord, you know,
yeah.
Completely, 24/7. Don't make it a one-time-a-day type thing. Don't pray one time a day. It could be three times a day, and just do your best to have that relationship with the Lord, okay? And find a Bible-based church so you could go ahead and continue that path with the Lord, because we are in the last days. We are in the last days, and people is worshiping their idols, the celebrities, the basketball players, and they call them their gods. They actually call them their gods. You know, for example, Oprah. Okay?
No.
You know, people think Oprah is their god. You know what I mean? Oprah have her own church, you know, and everything else. And, you know, I'm not judging, but, you know, what she does. But the thing is, you know, it's not according to the Word, because the way she's giving out the Word and everything else. You know what I'm saying? And we got to be careful who we listen to at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And we got to put God on everything. God is always first. He's always first. Do not put these preachers before God either, because these preachers, some of these preachers out here is playing God themselves.
Yeah, they're playing God. And some of them, they're not playing God as if they want to be God. Some of them trying to play God. In other words, they want to pimp God. So
yeah, there you go.
And it's like, all that is idolatry. All that is idolatry and robbery. And when you rob God, he has something special for you. When you rob God, he has something very special for you. And that's the way I see it, you know? And it's just like, God doesn't surprise us. He puts it down. He says it. He puts it down that this is what it is. And if you don't do this, this is what is going to happen. Like he says, children, obey your parents. Honor them. Because by doing so, you will live longer on earth. And you wonder why some kids are dying at a young age? You know, it's like, come on. God doesn't say something and it doesn't come out to be. He said his word will never come back empty. It will go do what he says for his word to do. So by us listening to God and obeying him, we tend to have a longer lifespan on earth. And that's true. And that is true because he protects those who follow his word. God says it. He will not leave those who represent him. If you represent God on earth, it's kind of like this guy was explaining to us yesterday how when he used to be in Haiti, he used to go to this private school, and the private school had American kids in there too in Haiti. And what ended up happening was there were some prisoners who escaped the prison, and they went inside the school. It's a private school. They went in there. So then the people at the school called the parents and explained to the American parents what was going on. And the American parents, in turn, called the U.S. Embassy in Haiti. And the U.S. Embassy, I'm telling you, from what dude was telling me, U.S. Embassy sent tanks and all of that stuff, man, military forces to go inside of the school and get the kids out, the ones that are Americans. Get them out, put them inside of buses and take them away, far away from the scene, just in case if anything goes down. That's how God is. God is going to go for those who represent him. If we are ambassadors of Christ, then our embassy is not here on earth. It's in heaven. So anything that happens to us, God is going to have to represent us because we represent him down here. He's not a God. He's not a God that sits down like a statue and you ask him something and he can't answer it to you. No, this is the living God, the living God. And he says all the other gods are made of wood and made of clay. He said, I am the one true God. What home are you going to build for? What are you saying? What temple is this? Are you going to make big enough for me to live in? You know, it's something that people got to look at. Let's go ahead and put God first. Not only put him first, but let's put him in everything that we're doing. Include him in it. And therefore, by you including God in your life and everything that you do, trust me, you will realize where you're wrong or not. Because at the end of the day, if you're doing something wrong, you won't be able to put God in it. And if you're obligated to put God in everything that you're doing, you're going to change your lifestyle just so it could fit the fact that you want to put God in your life. If you were saying you put God first, okay, I put God first. But then I can go to the strip club and then party my butt off. You feel me? But if I say I put God in everything that I do, if I put God in everything that I do, if I'm going to the strip club, that's something I'm doing, and I can't put God in that. If I can't put God in that, but I want to put God in everything I do, I'm going to go ahead and cancel that. Okay, you know what? I want to put God in anything I'm doing. I have a fear for the Lord like that. I'm just going to go ahead and restrain from that. I'm going to refrain from that.
Let me tell you something. I remember earlier last year, my brother wanted to take me out to the club, whatever, right? So I'm like, you know, knowing that I am a new creature in Christ, I'm going to keep it on it with everybody. So I'm like, okay, you know what, let me go to the club. I went to Iguana. I think when Walker Flacco was performing, whatever. And then it's like I had this weird vibe inside. Like when you're a new creature in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ. You can't switch up at all. Like the Lord already have you marked. Okay, I felt so weird inside, I wanted to get out. My brother was like, are you okay? I'm like, nah, man, I'm not okay. I want to go. He was like, are you okay, man? I mean, there was females dancing in front of me. I didn't even notice it, okay? And it was so weird for me. I didn't want to be in there, man. I was about to freak out. I said, I got to go. I want to go, man. I just want to go. I didn't want to stay there at all. So it was like, when you're a new creature in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ. Your mindset is changed, okay? Your mindset is changed. You can't go back doing the same thing again. Because when you try and go back and do the same thing again, it's like, what are you doing? You're going to be thinking, like, what am I doing? You know, like, I don't even want to do this anymore, you know? Why I'm smoking a blunt for? This doesn't taste good to me, or this is not the way for me anymore. Like, this is old. You know what I'm saying?
Let me say, I see it in the Bible where it says basically
a righteous
it says a righteous man falls 1,000 times but gets back up. And it's just like I was explaining to someone. Basically, it's not the fact that you won't sin. It's the fact that sin no longer has power over you.
There you go.
And Christ died, and his blood was shed for that very purpose. That way he bought you from sin. So even though you're living in a world where sin still has rule over the world due to the fact that people, you know, that the world is still sinful, but those who are redeemed, those who pick on Christ, who put on Christ and believe in him, confess him with their mouths, they are free from sin. Sin no longer has them under bondage or slavery. They're free from it. So you may fall, but you're not obligated to stay down anymore. You know,
now, I don't know if everybody's going to think I'm wrong for saying this, but practice do make perfect.
Yeah,
practice makes perfect.
That's the thing, too. Because another thing with sin is that you got to understand some sins are habits. They're habits. And we got to learn to break the habits. That's all it is. They're habits. A lot of sins become habits. And when by practicing, it gets better, and we learn how to go ahead and break the habits. Practice makes perfect.
And Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of dead, but the living, okay? And he want to give you a life. He want to give you life, true life, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He don't want you to be in the darkness of this world. Because I notice a lot of people look like zombies nowadays. I'm not clowning. I'm not trying to joke with anybody, but people look like zombies. They don't have no life in them, no happiness at all. Okay?
The Bible says anything outside of God is death. Anything outside of God is sin.
Wow.
Yeah. There is no life outside of God. The only life there is the life that there is in Christ Jesus. That's the life. When sin came into the world, life died, man. When Adam and Eve sinned, they allowed death to come in and take over life. That's what they did. It wasn't like life was still going ahead and doing what it's doing. The moment that they sinned, boom, it was death. Because it was through sin that death came into the world. So if you look at it, when you think of what God did through his son Jesus Christ, what he did was he gave us another opportunity to have life again and life more abundantly. And that's what the Bible states. Christ Jesus came to give life, life more abundantly, more than ever. So therefore, if we had one dose of life at first, now we have three times the dose of life. Because Jesus Christ came, he died, and his blood was shed. His death represents our life. He died in our stead. So therefore now, when we put on Christ, the same way God resurrected him from the dead, Paul say, is the same way we should trust in God that he will not leave us in the grave too, that he will go ahead and raise us up. And in that day when he raises us up, we will have incorruptible bodies. We will have bodies that will last forever. So those who are alive, we will be caught up in the air. But those who are dead will be raised first. The dead will rise first. And those who are alive will be caught up in the air, and we shall all be changed. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, let us encourage one another with those words. It's the truth, and the truth is what sets men free, and Jesus Christ is the truth. When people think of that, they saying the truth shall set you free. They think it falls for everything. No, it doesn't. It only falls for the category of Christ Jesus. He's the only truth that can set you free. He's the only one. There's no other truth that can set you free. If it's not God, if it's not the truth of God, the word of God, you're not going to be free.
Amen. Amen. Well, we ran out of time, even though we love to keep going, but we ran out of time. But I hope everybody learned what we exactly said through the word, because, this is not coming from us. This is coming from the word. It's come from the Bible itself, okay? And the first commandment, you got to love the Lord often heart. And that's going to complete all the commandments. By you loving God, it's going to have your mindset changing, okay, continuously. And we're not here to please people, but to please God only, okay? Because there's a lot of tests and there's a lot of trials and tribulation in this earth that we're running through tests daily and every single day, every single month. We're running through a test, and the Lord loves us so much that He give us the Lord Himself, Jesus Himself, have Him on the cross to so we can have grace and mercy. And that's the power of God. That's the gift of God. Okay? So,
you need to realize if Jesus didn't die for us, we wouldn't be here right now. God would have been sent everyone to hell, and we would have
been perished right now. We would have been gone.
Yeah, we would be able to question His judgment. If God sends us, if He was to go ahead and send us all to hell, we would not be able to question that judgment, man. Because it's like at the end of the day, that's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. He doesn't give us according to what we deserve. Because the Bible says that God didn't give us according to what we deserve. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not like He said, I'm going to clean them up first, and then after that I'll come down and die. And give my life up for them. No, he gave his life up right in the midst of how and when we were still sinners. When we were still sinners, we didn't even see him.
Yeah.
And nowadays, we idolize things. Like anything, we can put it in front of us and make it an idol just by giving it time and putting our mind in it too much. That's why God always say, cast all your cares upon me. because your cares can become an idol too. Your worries can become an
oh,
idol.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The Lord been revealing that to me all week, every week. Cast all your worries and cares onto me. And he said that on a verse. And, people be like, you know, when you start casting all your worries and cares onto the Lord, people see a change in you, okay?
Yeah.
People going to start saying things to hurt you, too, because they're going to be like, you don't care about me or you don't care about the situation. It's not that you don't care about the situation. It's that you're going through the situation in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you're a new creature in Christ. And you have to have a Christ mind like. You have to have that mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why they say we have to be more than conquerors. Okay? And at the same time, that's going to help you to control your emotions. You know? But everybody stay in your word, meditate on the word. Me and my brother over here, Gabriel, man, we stayed up like until 6 in the morning receiving the word, you know? And trust me, it is going to be a habit, but don't just make it a habit, but walk in the word. You know, it's a great thing. When you're receiving the word and you have that fire of the Holy Spirit just come upon you in your body and you just want more. You start getting more hungry for the word.
So we pray that everybody stays, you know, tuned in and let your friends know about this radio show. And also, we want to give a shout-out to Anthony Smith of WavelengthRadio.com. We are about to partner up with him also to take the Word of God to a broader audience. Now that we're on Blog Talk now, and then now we're going to have to be we're going to also be on WavelengthRadio.com. And we will also now have a video session, not just an audio session where people get to hear us. They will also see us, and we will be having guest appearances, may it be a pastor or a Bible study teacher, but anything that has to do with the Lord God and Jesus Christ, that's what we're going for, and we will have people come in and do and give their insights on the Word of God, share the Word of God in order to edify the people listening, to build spirits, to build spiritual warriors, praying warriors, people with faith that is infallible. That's what we're looking to do. So stay tuned in. Tell your friends about this radio show. And we know that God has big plans. We're about to go ahead and explode and make this thing happen big, not because we want to, but because that's what he wants.
Amen.
You know? Yes.
Amen. I already let some of the brothers know yesterday about, what is it, Wave Radio, right?
Wavelink Radio.
Wavelink Radio. I told him about it yesterday, and he was like, oh, you know, God is moving. So I told one of the brothers yesterday about that, and he said, you know, he wouldn't mind to come over here and give a sermon or in the radio station too. So, you know, I already spread the word. And, I mean, everybody else that's listening, spread the word. I mean, God is moving. He is moving. Okay, because we're in the last days. He is moving. He's going to use old folks, and he's going to use young folks like us and everybody else that's listening. Continue studying the word so you can give the word and so we could save souls. And that's what it's about right now. Let's save souls. Okay, let's save souls because we are brothers and sisters in this earth, and we need to save. We need to save souls. That's what we need to do.
Yes, yes. And, we still on?
Nah, I don't know, but I'm not sure. Nah, we have a little bit of time left.
Okay. Yeah, so the main thing is now to go ahead and see to it that we stay prayed up. Keep asking God for direction and see where he wants us to go, because I feel like in each one of our lives, he's doing something individually, and at the same time together, he's putting something as a unit. He's putting something together also. And I really feel like it's going to be something big. It's going to be something great, greater than we think, greater than we imagine, like greater than I'm even thinking right now or even saying. It's going to be great, you know? So we're just going to stay prayed up and make sure that things are in alignment to God's will, because we're not just servants by voluntary actions. Like I said before, we are servants because we were bought with a price, and we're no longer ourselves. We don't own ourselves. We're bond servants of Christ. Like Paul said, he's a bond servant of Jesus Christ, not just somebody who was who is basically there, you know, like, okay, let me worship God because I want to. Let me preach the gospel because I want to. No, 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 no. It's an obligation. It's mandatory. It's a commandment. You might as well just add it and make it the 11th commandment. Preach the gospel, you know, share the word. Souls are dying. People are actually getting sent to hell. More people are getting sent to hell. There was a thing I was watching. My brother Steve showed me that yesterday. This guy, you know, he did this thing. This, there was a statistic back in the 70s, 1,001. That was the statistic. For every 1,000 person that goes to hell, one person goes to heaven. Can you believe that? And that was what he's, and he was like, yo, that was 40 years ago. I said, for real? And he's like, look, how much do you think it's worth? How much worse do you think it is now? And I'm like, hey, it's probably like 100,000 to 1 right now. It's probably for every 100,000 people that fall into the pits of hell, one person goes to heaven. And that is not supposed to be that way. Well, we can't say it's not supposed to be that way. Jesus said we just need to worry about what God commanded us to do, and that's to preach the word, and that's what we're going to do, you know, because God has to exercise his righteousness and his judgment. So at the end of the day, everybody has to hear the word of God, and that word will hold them accountable. So when they go before the Father, they know. They will know. When their lives start flashing in front of them, when you say, God, we never knew about you, he will, well, Brother Joseph the Dreamer and Brother Gabriel used to have the radio show and you used to listen to it. And you heard they talk about Jesus, and they warned you about hell. But then you didn't listen. So, therefore, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you.
Mm-hmm. And there's many ways to evangelize, because there's Christians out there say, oh, you know, we're afraid to go out there and evangelize, but we do have online. We do have internet.
Yeah, okay? There's many ways.
You know,
the internet is like, it's a cyber world. The internet is a cyber world. It's just like the outside world, but the only thing is that you're not walking around, you're not talking with your mouth, you're doing everything online.
Mm-hmm.
It's ways to preach the gospel, you know, to put it out there. I think America really needs the gospel. Like, America, they don't need just any type of gospel, they need the gospel of Jesus Christ, like the real deal. Not that sugar-coated.
Just to say only God, but they don't put Jesus. They just say God.
Yeah, like,
God this,
that.
God that. Okay, what God? Which God? Who God are you talking about?
Right. I know, right?
You know? They make it a fashion to just use that name, too. God this, God that. Okay, what God? Who's God? What God? Because God sent his begotten Son, okay, to save the world. What God you're talking about? I need to know. Who?
You know, I call those purgatorial Christians. They just want to stay in between. They still want to have some things in the world, you know, they don't want to let go of, but then they just want to make it seem like they're close to God enough that they will get saved. Purgatorial Christians, people who live in between God and in between the world. And that's not good because purgatory doesn't even exist. So, therefore, you don't exist. If you're thinking that you're going to live that lifestyle, it's like how Jesus said in the Bible. He said, man, I wish you were either cold or hot, but you're neither. You're a mixture of the two of them. And guess what? Because of that, yeah, you give my mouth a bad taste and I will spit you out of my mouth.
Mm.
That tells you a lot. If somebody comes to God and, you know, God is judging you and that's what he says to you, that tells you a lot. So we ought to examine ourselves because right now we are living in the times of revelations. We're not living in no other times. We're living in the times of Revelation, and it's going to happen. Things are imminent. Christ's return is imminent. The rapture is imminent. All these things. And I believe in the rapture. Okay, fine. We don't see the word rapture in the Bible, but I believe in it. Why? Because it's like you don't have to find the word, but you find the description of it, the definition of the word.
What the Lord said, he said he's coming for the chosen elect. See?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, people gotta see. They gotta understand what the Lord is saying.
Yeah. Here's